Welcome to Tech and Law Insights, hosted by Lurie.ai. This is episode 3, and I'm your host, Rupa, Chief Product Officer at Lurie. Today, we're thrilled to have Aditya, our Chief Innovation Officer, joining us. Aditya brings a unique blend of engineering, machine learning research, public policy, and law expertise to our discussion, all while currently being a 2L JD candidate at UCLA. Let's dive into his insights on innovation and the fusion of technology and law. Hi, Aditya. Welcome to episode 3. Thanks for being our guest for today.
Thanks for having me.
So my first question for you is about your background. You have an engineering degree, and you are currently pursuing a master's in public policy and a law degree. In your spare time, I know you are a UCLA club beach volleyball player. And how do you see your diverse experiences kind of assisting you in your role as Chief Innovation Officer at Lurie?
Yeah, so my wide variety of educational experiences definitely helps me grasp any new technical or legal concepts quickly, while also being able to think of ways that the concepts overlap or how best to apply technical knowledge to solve legal issues. Beach volleyball for me is a great way to de-stress, you know, keep the mind and body running, and also helps me a ton with cooperation, communication, and being a team player, something that all of us here at Lurie definitely try to bring to the table.
I'm certainly looking forward to maybe a lesson from you sometime, but I want to talk a little bit more about your background again in engineering and law. It uniquely positions you on our team as the only team member with both types of degrees, a technical and legal backgrounds. How do you facilitate communication and collaboration between these two often disparate fields?
Right. I make sure to break down any technical issues or concepts to a point where our legal experts can understand them and vice versa. I also like taking a more hands-on approach and lead by example. So providing first iterations of code, schemas, or workflow documentation. So I initially bridge the gap between engineering and law early on, creating a good foundation, make it easier for both sides to then iterate upon whatever we're working on.
Yeah. And how does this interdisciplinary perspective kind of influence Lurie's approach to innovation?
I mean, we're always looking for new ways to integrate the latest technological breakthroughs into our products at Lurie, or looking to see if they open up new avenues of solutions in a previously hard to breach area of law.
Yeah. Thank you for those insights, Aditya. My next question for you involves a statistic from a LexisNexis study that found that 65% of lawyers see a high potential for generative AI in legal research. So how is Lurie capitalizing on this trend?
Legal research is some of the most daunting and time-consuming tasks that lawyers and definitely us as law students have to take on. So we're working on creating fully functional research agents that can independently go out and search for relevant legal precedent, utilizing the comparison analysis capabilities of large language models, as well as improving our chatbots to allow for better precedent analysis and application to client facts.
Yeah. Can you speak a little bit more about legal prompting? You've been published, actually, in legal AI prompting. So could you, for our audience and viewers, can you please share some key insights from your research on effective legal AI prompts? What kind of tips can you offer for lawyers looking to improve their AI prompting skills?
Absolutely. I think be specific. Don't be afraid to tell the LLM or, you know, the chatbot exactly what you want from it. Mm-hmm. Give it a personality. Tell it, you know, it's like a top litigator, it's a top lawyer. Give all your facts and context, tell it how you want the output to be formatted. Be very specific on where to search, whether that be the internet, uploaded files, a specific database. And then lastly, make sure you prompt on tone and style of writing. This is super, super important in the legal field Do you want it to be persuasive or objective? Do you want it concise or more detailed and wordy? And remember that all large language models actually tend to have different personalities. ChatGPT, at least from our understanding and my research, you know, tends to be on the shorter side. Gemini, especially some of the newer ones at this time of recording, are more verbose. They yap a lot. And so given the type of LLM you're interacting with, you'll have to change up your prompts to work with these different personalities, sort of like you're talking to a person. But I will say that when you interact with an existing tool like Briefcase from Lori, all of this is actually usually already done for you. And so as technology evolves, I think there will be less and less that lawyers will have to eventually worry about it, but it's super, super useful to think about and to understand the basic underpinnings of something like legal prompting.
Well, that is such a good piece of advice for lawyers who are trying to use AI to help with their work. And we know legal AI tools are becoming increasingly prevalent. So how do you balance the efficiency gains with potential ethical concerns in AI-assisted legal work, in your opinion?
I think it's good that they're becoming prevalent, but lawyers need to use them as tools and not replacements. Ultimately, the legal field is highly regulated, and also you as a lawyer are held to higher moral standards and responsibilities. So ethically, you'll always need to double check the output and never rely on the output from the tool directly. For now, we'll see as things evolve and as things change, this might come into question and as the accuracy of output changes. But for now, I think as long as you're double checking the output and never relying on the output to send directly to clients or to file directly in court, then a lot of the ethical concerns are foregone there.
Okay. Moving on to a kind of regulatory question. With your public policy background, can you comment on how you see AI regulation evolving and what implications might this have for legal tech companies like Lurie?
I don't know if there will be regulation on a national level. I think that sort of regulation is likely going to come from the EU and state governments. But even then, the cat's out of the bag now, right? So I think more over than regulation in the traditional sense, I would love to see there be oversight committees, active, intentional application of AI within society, so we can start pushing towards this automatopia, which is a word that I coined in my analytical writing paper to get the JD. And it's essentially to discuss a future where automation takes care of menial work and the savings of time, money, all of these other wonderful benefits of automation are passed to the general public, which reduces your equity gaps, freeing up time as it's our most valuable resource. Likely, that's a pipe dream. But I hope that some sort of competent policy and establishments are created so we can try and push towards that automatopia.
That's very interesting. I know you also have experience with legal firms specializing in technology and crypto. So what are some of the common perspectives on AI at the firm level? And how are these firms adapting to and implementing AI technologies?
I think the common perspective that I've seen is that AI is sort of like a cool toy or like a cool tool, but the level of training needed to implement the current solutions into the workflow is too high. And so current attorneys don't end up actually using the tools. I think firms are also scared because AI completely upends the billable system. So they're also worried about that. They're continually also worried about confidentiality. So then a lot of firms are creating these in-house AI models that really aren't super great, but slowly I think that firms will start getting better in-house models. And then students, I think, will be the real drivers of change, right? So students that use AI in law school will start taking that mindset and the workflows of utilizing AI in their daily routine with them to the firms. And then that's when we'll really see how it ends up playing out.
Yeah. Honestly, I can't stop thinking about the word automatopia. I think that's so cool. With your background in machine learning research, how do you envision machine learning transforming the legal industry in the next 5 years? And what specific areas of law do you think will be most impacted in the near future?
I genuinely think the legal industry will be upended. I think the only thing that may stop that might be, you know, strict bar requirements or bar regulations. I think everyone's going to have to get good at using AI. Law as a whole relies on words, and this is exactly what generative AI models are good at. And they're only getting better at reasoning, comparison, analysis, analogies, all of these things all fold into law as a whole. So I don't think that any specific area of law will be safe from the impact, and especially not while we here at Lurie are still creating products. So, you know, our roadmap of products touches basically every sector of law and only continues to grow, evolve, and get better with time. So 5 years from now, hopefully it won't be machine learning transforming the legal industry, but Lurie.
Thank you so much for that. And thanks for being our guest on podcast number 3, Aditya.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, that was super informative. And this concludes our compelling conversation with Aditya, Chief Innovation Officer at Lurie. His unique background as an engineer, as a law student, as a public policy master student, provides a fresh perspective on the future of legal tech and AI. Thank you again, Aditya, for sharing your insights with us today. To our listeners, remember that the future of law lies at the intersection of technology, policy, and innovation. This is Rupa, signing off from Tech and Law Insights, hosted by Lurie.ai. Until then, keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible in legal tech.